In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me again Father Matt Williams, who will be speaking on the power of the resurrection. I think that third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, that is a real turning point for the apostles, because they are going through the beautiful gate, and there is a man who had been lame from birth. He's 40 years old, and he's looking for money. He's looking for money, and they go through, and they find that he's there. He's been there for years. Jesus saw him there, begging for money. Jesus did not heal them. So what happened? The apostles look at him and say, "Look at us. Silver and gold we have not, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, get up and walk." And guess what? He started walking and leaping and praising God. My Lord, this is a turning point for the apostles, because everyone knew this man. He sat by the beautiful gate for years collecting alms for the poor. Well, he did not get money, but he got something greater. He got his legs back. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to win people and also divide people.
Father, I love that point that you make, where Jesus would have gone through this beautiful gate many times during his public ministry, and especially when he went up to pray at the temple. And he absolutely would have passed by this man. Jesus might have even known his name, you know. And yet, for some reason, Jesus did not heal this man. We don't know why. Ultimately, he was saving this for the first miracle of Peter and John after Pentecost, you know. And I think this brings a consolation to all of us. So those of us who, you know, really want to do God's will and help make disciples, and we want to do everything we can for the Lord, and sometimes we do well with that, and sometimes we drop the ball, and sometimes we can really be overwhelmed by the great, tremendous need. You know, again, looking at the news, or just, you know, considering all of those factors that are going on in our society today, and where people are in regards to a life in Christ, or even just being human, you know, because, you know, animals... We sometimes treat each other worse than animals treat each other. Animals treat each other better than us human beings do, you know, especially the way we take care of our young, our unborn. And so we can be very overwhelmed by the culture and say, "Look, Lord, how can we possibly do everything?" You know, it can be very overwhelming. And you know, we even see that our blessed Lord didn't necessarily do everything. He didn't. Not everyone was healed by him. Not everyone heard his words in his presence. He left that to his church. He left that to his apostles. So I think for us, we have to remember we're not the Messiah, but the Lord has given us a task and responsibility to carry on his mission in some capacity. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Peter and John couldn't heal everyone in the city, but they could heal the ones that the Lord brought to them. And so I think this is like two things here. First, we can't heal everyone. Secondly, the Lord has given us a work to do, and we need to be very attentive to what is it that he's asking us to do, most especially who are the people that he's putting in our life right now that he's calling us to witness to bring the healing power of Christ's resurrection into their lives.
I remember when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I had promised the people that we were going to have a healing service, and I never got back home because the plane was full. So I decided to do the healing service from Arizona on the telephone, and they put the speaker on. And there was a man who was in a wheelchair who the Lord Jesus healed, that he got out of his wheelchair that day, and he started walking. Now, I didn't do that. I was on the phone. This is Jesus. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. We have seen many lame people walk. I remember the man who came to the espousal, and he said, I have a miracle in my pocket. I'm going home with a miracle. He came in with the cane, and as a matter of fact, he was twirling his cane at the end of the service, and he walked home without the cane. This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given us to do these things. Again, we don't do them all. We can't do them all, but we can do the ones the Lord sends to us. That's very important. Peter and John knew that this man was by the beautiful gate wanting alms, and they gave him more than money. They gave him back his leg.
What's interesting, too, St. Luke notes that it was during that 3 o'clock hour as they're heading up to the temple area to pray that this happens. And, you know, the Jews would go twice a day for the morning and the evening sacrifices to worship at the temple. And so we see in the early days of Christianity that the apostles were still going up in worshiping at the temple. Not that the new rites haven't been fully implemented and that they're not beginning to have the Eucharist, but they're also still participating in worship at the temple as Christianity in its early days begins to, distinguish itself from Judaism. And what's very interesting, though, is that what are they doing? It's on their way to worship. It's on their way to worship. And so I think that's just a really important fact that the healing power comes through worship, right? That we're called to be a people who worship the Lord. That's why the Lord gives us, Father and I have been so blessed with praying the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, just one example of the worship in addition to the Mass that we've been participating in. You know, the Church gives us the Liturgy of the Hours so that we would follow through on the Lord's command to pray without ceasing, you know, that we are sanctifying certain moments in the day, you know, early in the morning, midday, evening, night. We're sanctifying the day with worship, you know, that we're turning to the Lord. And in that worship, you know, that thanksgiving and praise and adoration and love lifts us up out of ourselves, right? We surrender ourselves to the Lord, to the Beloved, right? You fall more in love with the Lord. You become one with Him. And He, in turn, sends His Holy Spirit, and the Lord becomes the animating person in our lives. Like, that's ultimately, worship is about self-surrender. It's about a sacrifice, right? A sacrifice of my heart to the Lord so that I may be one with Him, that He may reign in me, that, you know, just to use the analogy, Jesus takes the wheel of our lives, right? I mean, this is the goal and the object of our worship, that Christ would reign in us, right? As He said, abide with me, that we would be one with Him, right? And that He would be the animating principle. One time I was on a retreat, I was going back about a year and a half ago, and it was an 8-day silent retreat doing the following the format of St. Ignatius of Loyola. So you get, you know, you get about four 1-hour periods a day where you're praying with the sacred scriptures. And just this wonderful, it's wonderful to just immerse yourself in the scriptures and be with the Lord in that way. And talking with the spiritual director, we were going back and forth and we were chatting, talking about, you know, worship and contemplation. And basically, worship and contemplation, they both bring us to this place of self-forgetfulness. They bring us to self-forgetfulness. And I think St. Paul's words in his letter to the Galatians would summarize it perfectly. You know, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I live is not my own. Christ lives in me, and the life I live is a life of faith in the Son of God who suffered for me. So it's this reality that worship, right, brings us to a place of self-forgetfulness, right, so that it's Christ reigning with us. And with that self-forgetfulness, the power comes, right? The power of heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and we enter into the river of God's Holy Spirit, right? We enter into the river of the Holy Spirit. We enter into the river of God's love, and we become vessels. But you know what, though? Here's the thing, and we did this, as I said, I've been sharing about this Hunger for Justice retreat that we did over the weekend. And I shared yesterday on the show that we watched, you know, on Good Friday they would have heard the gospel proclaimed earlier, or in midday they would have heard the gospel proclaimed When I say the gospel, I'm talking the kerygma. They would have heard it proclaimed at the Good Friday services, what Jesus has done for them. And then we watch the Passion of the Christ. So you see the gospel proclaimed once again through the power of movies, right, through the power of the arts, right? So after that, they've heard the gospel announced three times. Now we enter into a healing service, right, and where we try to take what we've this good news of what Jesus has done for us and the shedding of his precious blood and how he wants to heal us, he wants us to experience his mercy and new life. We want to make that real and apply it now to our lives. So we led them in this healing service, and we prayed with them and invited them to renounce things out of their lives, and we laid hands on them. So there was a mom who was an adult youth minister who was participating in this whole thing, and afterwards, the mother said to me, she said, this was after the whole weekend, she said, she was thanking me and the team, and she was saying how wonderful it was, and she said to me, Father, where did you learn this? Like, how come not all people are trained in this kind of stuff? You know what I mean? Like, where did you get this, you know? And I said to her, you know, well, it's not something that I did. It's something that was given to me, a gift. I was mentored, you know, and I said, Father Tom, I was very blessed to be in Father Tom's school of the Holy Spirit, and he mentored me. So here's the thing. We enter into the self-forgetfulness. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the anointing will teach us, but we need mentors. We need people that will train us and teach us about these gifts and how to step out and use them so that others can experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus' healing touch.
It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be moved by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you know, it's not because people don't work. I think people work very hard, ministers and priests, but it's that they do not experience the power of the Holy Spirit in invisible ways. And God wants that for us, for you, for me, for ministers, for priests. Without the Holy Spirit, I am bankrupt. Whenever I see a ministry that's filled with God, you know what I see? I see a man or a woman who's become a sacrifice. A man or a woman who's become a sacrifice in union with the sacrifice of Calvary. Oh, yes, it's not easy. You see, if you are to be that person that God wants you to be, you must be sacrificial. And that word we don't hear anymore, the word sacrificial, that we are called to be sacrificial, especially husbands to their wives and wives to their husbands. Sacrificial, really becoming a sacrifice in union with Jesus crucified and raised from the dead.
And how hard it is to become a sacrifice. How hard it is to become a sacrifice. And it's exactly what it is. A sacrifice is something that requires blood, something that requires effort, something that requires to be broken. You know, the Eucharist, the bread is broken after it's consecrated, right? The Eucharist is broken. We're called to be broken. And we just think of that, the action of the Eucharist, right? Taken, blessed, broken, and given, right? So we have to allow ourselves to be taken by the Lord, you know, offering to him our lives, knowing that he's going to bless us, but then he's going to break us so that we can be given to the world, right? So this aspect of sacrifice, we need to be broken. And, you know, it's so hard because sometimes worshiping God is the last thing you want to do. It's the last thing you want to do. But yet that's what we're called to do, to be a people of sacrifice that offer God a sacrifice of praise. And it's so important that we make time to pray every day and to worship our God in spirit and in truth, to offer him that. And this is the thing, though, as we pray, when we become a sacrifice of praise, the Holy Spirit comes. God never gets outdone in generosity. He never gets outdone in generosity. When we worship God, his Holy Spirit comes, and he fills us, and he gives us what we need. It's so important to take time. You know, if we're able to take time in prayer, really, then that intimacy with the Lord in prayer, that then animates our whole day and allows us, it's a wellspring that allows us to be able to operate in the power of his Holy Spirit so that we can be vessels of his merciful love in our world today.
Jesus is the giver of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you fathers among you, if your son asks you for a loaf of bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more? I tell you, we do not have because we do not ask. We're asking for Uncle Louie to have a job. That's fine. We're asking for somebody to be healed. That's fine. But what about the asking for the Holy Spirit, that God would inundate us with power from on high? Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. You shall be my witnesses. Yes, a witness has first-hand experience. You know, Mary said, the car hit John's backside, his bumper. And so the judge says, did you see it? And she says, no, someone told me. Hearsay has no power in the court. It's got to be first-hand knowledge. First-hand knowledge of Jesus. First-hand knowledge of the Holy Spirit. First-hand knowledge of the power of God. You can only proclaim what you see, and you can only give what you have. If you don't have it, you can't give it. But the good news is, he wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to me. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of that power from on high. I need more in my own weakness. I need more just to do these broadcasts. I need the Holy Spirit to help me, to inspire me, to call me forth. I need the Spirit of God because my soul thirsts for the living God. Thirst for the living God. How I thirst. And Jesus said, let the man who thirsts come to me, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he was talking of the Spirit, which has not yet been given because Jesus has not yet been glorified.
So we have to remember that from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit is the basic fabric of becoming a Christian, right? In St. Peter's first homily, we heard this yesterday, right? In his very first homily, he says, you know, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. What does he say next? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, and this is part of our teaching of baptism, right? So faith leads to repentance, leads to immersion into the life-giving waters of the baptism, where we die with Christ and rise with him to newness of life, right? So being immersed in the water, when we think of baptism by immersion, right, you are immersed into the waters, so you're dying with Christ, you're entering into the tomb, and then you come out of the waters, so you come forth from the tomb in new life, in a resurrected life, and so we now bear the image of the resurrected Christ. We're dying to the old self of sin. We're dying to death itself, right? We're dying to the old man, the old Adam, and we're rising with the new Adam, Jesus Christ. We're rising in the new life of grace. And that new life is a life in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit, if you're seeking to live a Christian life, the Holy Spirit is in you and he's alive. The only way you drive the Holy Spirit out is with mortal sin, right? Mortal sin, we drive the Holy Spirit out, you know, and we just barely have the flame of hope that can get us back to the graces, to the confessional, to mercies, to new life with God. But when we sin, right, we drive the Holy Spirit out in our lives. When we're in dark mortal sin, the Holy Spirit cannot remain there. We drive him out. That's why it's called mortal sin. And if we die with mortal sin, knowledge of mortal sin, you know, we could have eternal damnation, right? Eternal death. And here's the thing too, is like, you know, God's never going to force himself on you, right? God's never going to force himself on you. So if we live a life denying God, what makes me think or you think that when we die, we're going to want God when we die? There's no way. Like, why are you going to want God? If you didn't want him in life, why are you going to want him in death? You're not going to want to. It makes complete sense. But if you and I are struggling seeking after Jesus, And like, we trust Jesus is going to be merciful to us at that hour of death. So anyways, this new life of Christ, like he wants, the Holy Spirit. So if you're living a life of grace, if you're living seeking, striving, trying, struggling to live a life in Christ, the Holy Spirit's there. He is, you can't say Jesus Christ is Lord without the Holy Spirit. You can't say that. You can't seek a life of grace, seeking, taking time to pray, going to Mass, being kind. You couldn't do that without the Holy Spirit. So let's acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is there already. He's at work. And it's this the great saying of St. John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. So the more that we go into the life of Jesus, the more his Spirit increases in us, and then we can become more vessels. So there, so we can, it's kind of like, you know, this understanding that we're called to like to be broken in a way where God can have free reign in us. Because see the thing, we can do everything, right? We can do follow all the norms of the church, but not still give God free reign in us, right? We can do all the norms and do everything and be a good Catholic, but still not have allow God to have free reign in us, right? It's kind of like we're following the law, right? We're doing all those things. We want to check off all the boxes, and there's not necessarily wrong with following the norms, okay? But we haven't given God free reign, right? The purpose of Christianity is that Christ would live in you, right? That we would be we would die to ourselves and Christ would be completely alive in us, and that we would give Jesus permission. I love that saying of Mother Teresa, soon to be Saint Mother Teresa, that she just wanted to be a pencil in the Lord's hand, right? She wanted to be a pencil in the Lord's hand. She wanted to surrender her entire life to God's power, so that the Holy Spirit had free reign in her and that he could do great things in her. So let's acknowledge, for those who are seeking to live, Christ is, the Holy Spirit's at work there, but there's always room for more. There's always room for more to activate, to allow the Holy Spirit to be fully activated in us, where he can be fully alive in us and at work. And that takes a dying to ourselves and a praying for the Holy Spirit to be released. Father, can you say a little bit more about how can I allow the Holy Spirit to be fully unleashed in my life?
First, I want to talk to the poor bum that's in deep sin. I want to tell you that the Lord is drawn to you today with his mercy. You might be in deep, deep sin, deep, deep darkness, but God is drawn to you today because of his mercy, and he wants you to come into fullness of life. So don't get discouraged, because discouragement means to lose heart. We don't want to lose heart. The deepest sinner, what about Paul? Paul was the sinner that killed Christians, and yet the Lord's mercy drew him to himself. That's interesting. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. We need to call upon Jesus to fill us with the Spirit of God, to fill us with the Spirit of God. Let's just do it now. Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Spirit that raised you from the dead. Lord Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit. I want to live for you. Lord Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Give me the gifts of the Spirit. Let me know how you love me. I need to know your love. I need to know your love. I need to know your power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And the word power is dynamos. You shall receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. I was in Arizona several months ago, and we had a healing service, and only the Spanish people came. Everyone was healed. You want to know why? They came expecting. There were no gringos there. Not one person that was white. Only the people that were doing the service, everyone was healed. Why? Because they came with faith, expecting.
Father, I want to go back to something you said earlier regarding God's mercy and for the poor bum or the person that might be just kind of wallowing in sin or addiction, struggling right now in this moment and feeling the darkness. These days of Easter, this octave of Easter, culminates in the second Sunday of Easter, which is Divine Mercy Sunday, and the Lord Jesus himself has asked that the second Sunday of Easter be known as Divine Mercy Sunday, where we celebrate with greater joy than ever this reality that God's mercy is like an ocean, and no matter how bad your sin may be, how dark your darkness may be, how great your misery may be, it is merely a raindrop falling into the ocean. And we know what happens when a raindrop falls into the ocean. It becomes completely immersed and one with the ocean. So do not lose hope, but trust, because God's mercy is for you. Jesus says that the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to my mercy.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. This is the year of mercy. May God's mercy flood your heart today. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.